y'all. Hope you're doing well today. So I came on here to talk about the 12th house because y'all know as I go along and I learn stuff. Damn it. My pants leg got on these long ass sweatpants. You know, like the little bell bottom lounge pants that women wear with the drawstring top waistband. I got those on. Comfort clothing. Since I'm not going out today. But got that on in a t-shirt, so my pants leg just got caught up in the wheels of my computer chair. Anyway, y'all know I come on here and talk about stuff that I learn in my personal experiences. That's just like a part of all of my content. It always has been. So I had to go and look because the divine always teaches me. It teaches most of us by experience. But spiritual things often happen to me, and then it happens to me so I can tell other people so that I can, like, put the pieces together. I don't know why they use me as a fucking Native American, indigenous, wind talker, code breaker, crypt, I am a motherfucking crypt keeper, okay? I am not the crypt keeper, meaning, my nigga from HBO. I'm not the crypt keeper, I am a crypt keeper, meaning that I do keep secrets. Meaning that's eighth house shit. That's about secrets. You know, they're the master of secrets, Scorpios. So, I know a lot of people don't like Scorpios, but it is what it is. Now, I've shared with y'all that I'm a Leo sun in the Vedic astrology. In my Vedic chart, I'm a Leo sun. Okay. I want to say thank you to professional high priestess, aka Daisy Ozum, because I noticed you kept talking about 12th house over and over and over. You kept talking about 12th house secret enemies. Also, I wanted to shout out another reader that does secret enemy readings. I'm not going to name her because I got a lot of haters that didn't start running and posting her stuff, and I don't have a problem with them promoting. I'm just saying I don't want them running to try to cozy up to you so they can try to do the same thing to you that they did to me, because you're of the same sign that I am. Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna stop all of that sharing, okay, because raggedy Shrek looking motherfuckers go and post everything I post, okay, which is their business. But I'm just saying, professional high priestess kept talking about the 12th house of secret enemies repeatedly in almost every video or in many videos, and now I realize what the fuck was going on. I been knew that there was some kind of weird energy between me and her, but not just between me and her, between me and Leos in general, okay? And it turns out that my 12th house is in motherfucker, my 12th house is Leo. So my secret enemy house is Leo. So that means Leos are my secret fucking enemies. They'll try to cut me down, undermine me, sabotage me, steal whatever from me without any provocation even. They are the ones that will also push me into self-sabotage if I allow them. Now, I don't have any planets in my 12th house, in my natal chart, and I don't have any planets in my 11th house, and there's other houses I don't have any planets in, okay? I remember when I got an astrology chart some years ago, the astrologer had been in business for 30-something years and was widely known and a professional astrologer, and she said she had never seen a chart like mine. So it's very, very unique. But I know professional high priestess how she investigates. No shade, no tea, no snark intended. I know how she investigates. Homegirl done found my motherfucking natal chart. And were trying to tell me, bitch, I'm your secret enemy. Bitch, I'm your secret enemy. Look in your 12th house. Look in your 12th house. Look in your 12th house. Now, just because I don't have no planets in my 12th house doesn't mean that Leos aren't my secret enemies. My Leo sun in the Vedic also does not remedy that 12th house. Even though my 12th house is technically empty, my 12th house is still represented by Leo, meaning Leos represent the subconscious, things that are hidden, self-sabotage or self-undoing, and being secret enemies, people that will undermine me even without any reason or provocation to do so. Okay? That explains why my aunt, my father's sister, who is, I think she's a 823 Virgo, but that's a Leo cusp, why she's always been jealous of me and tried to work against me and was doing black magic on me. That explains why I met a Leo man who seemed to be very nice, a Leo son man, who seemed to be very nice. And then we had a terrible, he flew me out, child, and we hung out. It wasn't no escort foolishness. I just went to visit. Wasn't no sexual stuff involved. He flew me out and we had a great time at first, and then he started to turn. Over a 3-day period, he flipped on me. Because he's a fucking Leo son, and then he tried to come back in my life multiple times acting like, well, you made a good impression on me, Bree. You were so nice. You were so sweet. Yeah, but you wasn't so sweet, baby. You were sweet at first, and then you started to be an asshole for no reason. That's because you in my house of secret enemies. You were a Leo. That's my secret enemy's house in my chart, okay? Then there was another Leo friend that I had that was, I think, a 826 or 827 Leo. She used to get an attitude, just pop, just like her, it was like some bipolar shit. Now, I'm not saying that she was bipolar. I'm not making fun of or making light of anyone who is bipolar. I'm just saying her attitude would like shift with me for no fucking reason, and I never understood why. I thought it was hormonal because she had PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, but I didn't know what it was. I thought it was hormonal mainly because she had some trouble with her hormones. But now I realize it was her fucking astrology. It was her being a fucking Leo, period. My ex twin flame, the one that I've exposed on my channels before, okay, the karmic ex, false twin, okay, that lied and cheated and did all his foolishness. He's a Leo North Node, baby. He's still trying to undermine me in subtle ways, still wishing that I would have to come crawling back to him, that I wouldn't be a bright, shining star in the skies, that I wouldn't have what I'm supposed to have. He's the one that always comes up in sun, moon, and stars intuitive reading as a goddamn magician and an emperor. That motherfucker. Shout out to sun, moon, and stars intuitive. That's that motherfucker that be coming up in your readings that got the sex addiction and all kind of other stuff. Yeah, him with the Leo North Node and the fucking Sagittarius rising. See, that Sagittarius rising is connected to my Sagittarius South Node. The motherfuckers are karmic. Because South Node or Ketu in astrology is karma. Okay? So, I got to be careful with Sagittarians too. And this is the beauty of astrology. So, to the lady who's a Leo, I now understand why you assumed I had done something against you. You're a Leo. You're in my 12th house. That stuff that's hidden and that we don't quite understand. And that is for soul lesson, and even though it can be upsetting. So that's why I was like, what the fuck? Why would you be throwing my name up? It's because you're a Leo, and that stuff that's unconscious or subconscious and that I wasn't able to see. So the guides, the divine, told me to go and look into the 12th house. And I'm sharing this with y'all so that y'all will go and look. That will help you understand relationships if you're into astrology. Okay, and if you don't like to look at the wheel and you don't want to do all of that, then you can contact somebody to look for you. Okay, you could even book an astrology decode plus tarot reading and oracle reading with me if you want. I do all three together. Okay, that's what you want to do, or find somebody, or even do your own research. All right, you can just start out saying in the search 12th house in astrology meaning, or what does the 12th house mean? And then go and generate you a free natal chart, okay? I never ask people for charts, okay, or their birth information. The only service that I offer where somebody has to give their birth information is the astrology decode. No other reading requires that. No, I never ask for nobody's birthday except for that reading, okay? So, that's been established. Today is the start of Leo season. What a wonderful coincidence, right? That Leo was the impetus of this stuff with another reader. And today, 7/22/2021, is the beginning of Leo season. And I found out that my 12th house is actually Leo. That's my revelation on the topic. Now, I'm going to read you some information about the 12th house because, you know, I be taking hits and shit, so I be taking hits, and then I go and tell y'all what to avoid and what to look out for, or, you know, how you can, you know, peep game on stuff, you know, look in your chart and see where your 12th house is, and then think about all the motherfuckers you done had it out with, or that you done had some strange-ass misunderstandings with, baby. Now, I want to make a little commentary on the 11th house, too, because if I've got my ducks in a row and I'm on top of my game, I think the 11th house is about mothers, because let's see. Yeah, okay, so The 11th house is friendship, community, humanity, large groups, and our social life, as well as people and friends. It refers to clubs, memberships, hopes, goals, ambitions, wishes, social groups, associations, and even humanitarian interests. Now, the traditional 11th house is represented by what? Aquarius. And we have a full moon in Aquarius as of today in the tropical, aka Western, aka Babylonian system. Now, I think it may be a full moon in Capricorn in the sidereal. I'm not sure what it is in the Vedic. So, Cap Moon, okay? I'm a Cap Moon in the Vedic. But then there was a Capricorn sun. This other reader says she's a Capricorn sun, but then she says she gave out a fake natal chart. So we don't know. She claims that her 12th house is Scorpio, which would make me her secret enemy. Not because I wanted to be, not because I wanted to backstab her and hurt her and do something. It's because she said her 12th house is Scorpio, if that's her real chart. If she kept saying my 12th house is Scorpio, that would make me your secret enemy, baby. And I didn't know. I didn't even know. Even when you typed it, it didn't register with me. You said 12th house Scorpio, and I'm like, okay. And it's exactly 12:12 p.m. right now, oddly. And I was like, okay. And it just like totally went over my head. And you know why it went over my head? Because the 12th house is hidden subconscious. It didn't hit my conscious. It was in my subconscious, stuff that I'm not aware of. That's why it went over my head. You kept saying, Avery, I want you to buy me. Because 12th house and Scorpio power. And I'm like, okay, cool. Cool, dude. Thumbs up. I'll do it. Not even knowing that I'm a secret enemy of yours. Not that I'm an actual enemy, but like not even knowing that me being a Scorpio and that being your 12th house as a Cap Sun, if you are a Capricorn Sun, means that there's things that will be revealed that even may be upsetting to you through me. And that's what happened. So now hindsight is 2020. I'm not trying to cover my ass or nothing. I'm just telling you that's what this was a part of. Plus, we have what? This full moon in Capricorn. So that's emotions affecting Capricorns. And it's emotions affecting who? Aquarians. Remember, I'm a Cap Moon in Vedic. That person is a Cap Sun. And I'm an Aquarius Moon in the West. So my full moon in Aquarius is right here. It's affecting my moon. Now, that don't mean I was out of pocket. It just means that this is a learning experience. Now, I'm not going to fuck with the person ever again, but I'm just saying, I'm telling you all the energies and the astrological aspect behind it and things you can think about, or possibly maybe this will pique some interest or give you a psychic hit or a spiritual hit to where, oh, is that why my coworker, was talking crap about me behind my back at work? Oh, they're my 12th house enemy. Oh, okay. Gotcha. So it wasn't me, or that's why my boss accused me of that, or that's why my teacher, always used to give me a hard time. See, peep game, baby, peep game. Astrology is amazing, okay? And people love to say it's not a real science. In the coming years, you're going to see it solidified as a real fucking science, okay? So, that being said, I always, even though astronomy is a real science, I connect astrology and astronomy because we know that astronomy is about the stars and the constellation, and then astrology is like the philosophical study of that. Stars, planets, constellations. I have special channelings that I've been wanting to give you all, readings, specialized readings, that I've been wanting to give you all that I haven't gotten to yet. So I'm hoping that I will get to them soon. I'm hoping that the energies will settle, that I'll be able to give you all these readings, because they're going to be pretty fucking cool. It's going to be like, I've only seen one other person on the entire tarot community, spiritual community, astrology community offer that kind of reading. And I didn't get the idea from them. I actually wrote the download down months ago in my notebook as, this is what we're going to do at some point. The divine was like, this is what we're going to do at some point. And I wrote it down months ago. And then after the fact, months later, I found somebody who actually kind of reads in the same way, but not exactly the same way. Okay. Nobody reads just like me. It's just like I kind of found somebody who does a little bit of the both, you know. And so that'll be interesting to dive into when I get to that point. you know, but as long as I have snakes popping up, you know, that I have to deal with publicly who keep smearing me. As long as there are people coming up smearing me, then I'm going to keep clearing my name as needed. I'm going to focus on my work and do what I need to do. But as needed, I will take time to address a lie because an unaddressed lie can turn into a fucking truth in other people's eyes. And I just don't believe in that. You know, I'm a Gemini North Node. I believe in stating facts. That's what Gemini North Node does. They state facts. Sometimes they don't really like too much minutia or details. You know, the little tiny parts and you know, microcosmic aspects of, you know, a situation or whatever they're learning, but they love to communicate with others and they love facts. Mind over matter. Okay? That's what Gemini North Node is about. So I'm a Gemini North Node and a Taurus North Node. All right? So that's in two different chart systems is what I mean. Gemini North Node in the West. So Daisy Ozem done found a bitch's birth chart and was telling me this whole time, bitch, I'm your secret enemy. Bitch, I'm your secret enemy. Bitch, I will undermine you, but I will also propel you. Bitch, I will give you mysterious information that will better you, even if it upsets you. You goddamn right you did. Shout out to her. Hey. Hey, shout out to Chamuel over there who did that because you damn sure did give me some motherfucking upsetting, mysterious unveilings when I had to close that motherfucking portal you opened in my house. You goddamn right. That was an upsetting, mysterious unveiling, some shit I had no idea I had a capability of doing. So I thank you for that. Thank you for testing me. I ain't never gonna be mad at you for it. Shit, I was mad in the moment, but then when it came out, why it was, and they taught me all of this stuff and showed me and snatched the covers off, as I call it, then I understood what it was about. So y'all Leos, much love to you, but I always gotta keep my good glasses on for y'all, okay? My expensive $400 glasses on, that insurance did not pay for, that I bought out of pocket, okay? I gotta keep my good glasses on for y'all, cause y'all be up to some shit that I ain't even conscious of and that y'all ain't even conscious of, but it's all love. It's all love. It's a learning process. So, what it means when somebody does not have planets in a certain house. When someone doesn't have planets in a certain house, so like if you have empty houses in astrology, what it can mean is the following. Then I'll address 12th house and 11th house. And go from there. So, I wasn't planning on doing a message today, but they wanted me to talk about this a little more in depth, other than my social media posts about the 12th house. So it says, so I'm reading an article here called thedarkpixieastrology.com. I will put the link in the box, proper citation, fairness to the creator, no problem. I'm good for that. Always giving contributions to other creatives, even if it's an article, a book, etc. I only keep that stuff secret if I'm told not to share it. But it says, when you're first investigating your natal chart or your birth chart, you may quickly find that some of the houses in your natal chart are empty, meaning there are no planets in the house. So, like an example of an empty house would be an empty third house. So there is no Mars there, there's no Jupiter there, there's no Mercury there, you know, there's no Saturn there. There's nothing in that house. It's just third house empty. That's what it's talking about when it says empty houses in the natal chart. An empty house in astrology means that there are no natal planets or birth planets associated with the house or located in there. So there's no, like I said, no planets in that house. Many people may worry that an empty house in astrology shows an area of life that they will struggle in, like maybe an empty seventh house indicating relationship struggles. So they may think, oh, I'll never get married, or I'll never have a solid partnership. Or they may worry, like an empty 10th house of career may mean that, oh, I'll never have a career, or if I go to work, I'm just going to be stuck in a lower level position. But that's not true at all of empty houses. It says there are only 10 planets in astrology, but there are 12 houses. So inevitably, each person is going to have at least two empty houses because there's not enough planets to go in. Okay? So there's less planets than there are houses. So you got 10 planets but 12 houses. So everybody going to have at least two houses in their chart that are empty. Most people have between 3 and 5 houses in their chart that are empty. Okay, so this is normal. So, however, just because the house is empty, as I said in my social media post, and this was long before I read this, it doesn't mean that the energy of that house is not present in your life. So my 12th house is empty. That don't mean I ain't got secret enemies that are Leos. My 12th house. My 11th house is empty. That don't mean I ain't got some concerns with mothering and family and home, which is, groups. 11th house would be Aquarius groups. Why I keep, Cancer is my 11th house, okay? Cancer represents my 11th house, but the 11th house is Aquarius. Okay, that's groups. So it doesn't mean that it's not going to affect you just because there's no planets there. The planets are like adding extra seasoning on top. So when the house is empty, it actually means that you're not as focused on it during this part of your soul journey in this life. It may also mean that it's not as much of a struggle. So Leos are, yeah, secret enemies of mine, but it's not a big struggle. I've had maybe 6 known Leos, 6 that I know of in my adult age that have tried to undermine me, like 6 that stick out in my mind, like 6. And I'm not including the subscriber at all. Shout out to sis. I'm not talking about her. I'm just saying that like 6 major ones, like the ex, my aunt, other former people, the guy that I was talking to, we weren't even dating, you know, that flipped out on me. And you know, there's only about a handful of them, so it's not a big deal, it being empty. But it's still present. It's still, you know, it's still something to pay attention to. You know, they just said ever-present danger still. So it says, there is a belief that an empty house represents an area of life that you've already dealt with in past life. So I've already dealt with secret enemies heavily of my 12th house, which is Leo, secret enemies of mine. I've already dealt with them heavily in a past life, which may also explain why I'm a Leo sun in the Vedic, because I am a sun. I am the soul archetype of my former enemies, or the enemies that I've conquered. I became the sun of them. That's how I'm channeling it. Astrologers and astrologists or whichever term you like to use, and people out there may not agree, but I'm channeling it as a victory. So you have overcome your 12th house enemies, Leo. And now you rise to the top of the chart, which is the sun, and you become a Leo sun in Vedic. So you embody that which used to tear you down. Remember, 12th house is self-undoing, self-sabotage, subconscious things you can't see, and mysterious things that will be unveiled, but that can be upsetting, but ultimately teach lessons. So my sun then being in Leo, in the Vedic, in my opinion, represents like some kind of overcoming of that, including the fact that the house is empty in my chart, including the fact that Leo, 12th house in my chart, is empty. So that also means that there's not a lot of karma to work out with that 12th house, if it's empty, or any house rather. Houses, so I don't have a lot of karma to work out with any secret enemies because it's empty in this life. And that's also that embodiment of becoming Leo sun. You know, that's literally like beauty from ashes. So fighting them and things burning down, and then you rise like the sun. So I rose and become a Leo sun because I've already dealt with them so much in past lives, or however much. I don't know how much, but enough. Because that ex karmic, he's from a past life. The Leo North Node, yeah, that one, he's a past life person. Excuse me. So it says, houses that have planets in them are areas where we have to work out this energy. Okay. So we give them more focus because there's actually a lot more to work on. This doesn't mean we neglect empty houses in astrology, though. We still have to pay attention to that. When a house is empty, you are likely going to put more focus on the sign on the cusp, which is the very beginning of the house. So Cancer. I've had a lot of Cancers betray me. There's been a lot more Cancers to betray me in this life than there have been Leos. And Cancer would be the 11th house in my chart. Friends and groups. Social affiliations. Okay? So it says, when a house is empty, you're going to put more focus on the sign on the cusp, or on the edge. which is the very beginning of the house. So today is what? Cancer Leo cusp, 722. Interestingly, my secret enemy is a Gemini Cancer cusp, 622. So it says, you're going to put more focus on the very beginning of the house and the ruler of the house, which is the natural planetary ruler of the sign on the house cusp. So you're going to put more focus for Cancer. The ruler would be what? Venus. For Aries, the ruler would be Mars. So if Aries is the house, then Mars is the ruler of that house. Okay. If Scorpio is the house, eighth house, then Pluto is the ruler of that house, but you also have to pay attention to Aries/Mars because Aries also rules it, Mars. Okay. This sign, whichever this dominant one is, will prevail over the energy of that house. So if it's Mars, it's going to prevail over Aries. Again, the ruler dominates its natal house, where it's at home, where it's most, comfortable energetically. The sign prevails over the energy of the house, and the ruler of the house often plays an even bigger role. So, in my case, I have a lot of Scorpio. So, Pluto plays a huge role in my life. And that's why people get angry, but you always talk about death and wishing people will die. They need to transform. Don't you know it ain't always about a motherfucking flesh and blood death? They need to transform. They need to get right. That's what I tried to help the so-called Vox to do. Which you named them the Vox because you had the name Valak wrong. He's a demon. Valak was one of the demons from the Ars Geshe, or Goetia, of King Solomon's Clavicula Salomonis. Clavicula Salomonis Regium, Lesser Key of Solomon, okay? Valak is the one that you said were affiliated with them, but I also talked about them in attacking my energy in the Testament of Solomon live stream I did where I was talking about Valak. So you mistook Valak and invented the word Vox. So again, you talk about death and you said people are going to die. People are going to die to their old self. You goddamn right, because guess what? I'm Scorpio times six between my charts. And Pluto rules me. Death rules me, baby. Lord of the Underworld rules me. But you know what? In that Mausolea Oracle of the Souls deck, Pluto is called the Lord of Riches. The Lord of other people's fucking money. So see, you're going to have to die if you want to be rich. And I don't mean just monetarily. I mean in soul, in energy, vibration, and motherfucking overall abundance. And having your shit on fleek, okay? You're going to have to die. You can't stay the same. All things die. Mother Nature will get rid of you or people or energies that is no longer serving the growth of the planet, won't it? So that's why I talk about death, because I'm ruled by Pluto. Pluto takes over in my chart, at least in the West. Pluto, you know who else takes over in my chart secondarily? Mars/Aries. And then thirdly will be Jupiter, because I got a lot of fucking Sagittarius too, which is freedom and spirituality, philosophy, wanderlust. Don't like to be tied down, baby. That's why I always talk about you can't control me. I don't like it. Since when was anybody ever able to control a phoenix, aka a death god, aka Pluto? When was anybody ever able to control Hades? Even Zeus, if you remember Clash of the Titans, couldn't control Hades. Zeus was like, fine, Hades, release the Kraken. And Hades was like, yeah, Birdman hand rub. I'm going to release the Kraken. And I'm going to teach them that the gods still live because they have forgotten us and they become arrogant. And they think they do all of this on their own. And we're going to show them that, no, you are like dust under our fingernails. You don't do it on your own, baby, because I'm going to tear it up to let you know you don't do it on your own. Okay, that's death. If you read tarot, you ought to know that death card ain't just somebody falling over, X's across their eyes like the cartoon show you, and they tongue hanging out of their mouth dead. No, death means also transforming. That's the same thing about the judgment card. The judgment card number 20 is also Pluto. The judgment card in the tarot is also Scorpio. It means Not just judgment. Oh, you're going to hell. No, it means a decision has been made. The divine is intervening. Trumpet or bell has been rung on a situation. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, round over. And a transformation is coming. And it's time to either rock with it or it's going to come down like what? What's the next card? Tower. Tower is the next Plutonian card. You got death, judgment, tower. Or tower, judgment, death. Or tower, death, judgment. It depends. I would say it's tower falling out because you was living fancy on the Lord's riches. Because remember, Pluto Hades is over riches. Pluto is called the Lord of Riches in the Mausolea Oracle of Souls deck. And if you want to look that deck up, you definitely can. I think I will probably put him as a thumbnail for this video so you can see it, even if you don't want to look it up. Pluto is Lord of the Riches, right? So first you have Tower. That's Scorpio Pluto. First you live and hide. Then people that were falling out the Tower in the Tower card, they dressed nice, right? They was in a tower, meaning like a castle, right? They were living high off the hall, as we call it, you know, in the South. High on the hall. Living high off the hall, living high on the hall. They were dressed in their finery. They were looking good, smelling good, and all of that. Okay, and then they was up in that tower thinking they was untouchable. And then what? Thunderclap. Who did the thunderclap come from? Aquarius. It came from Aquarius because Aquarius rules groups and social situations, humanitarianism, etc. Okay, Aquarius also rules people and friends. So Aquarius, lightning, Shango, thunderclap, lightning, hit the tower. They flying out. Flying out. Oh, you was rich, though. But the gods have clamped down, just like they did in Clash of the Titans, where Zeus said, okay, Hades, all right, I try to be nice to him. I try to give them a chance. They don't want to change on their own. You go, Death God, and make them change. Make them transform. You go and release the Kraken. So, thunderclap, lightning strikes the tower. They fall out. You can't fall from that height. As a phoenix crashing and burning, you can't fall from that height and not die. So next is death card. See. So then you get, you get them coming in saying their funerary rites and bury you in shoveling dirt. And then, okay, the reapers are there. The reapers done came and got the souls. The priest or the pope saying his rites in that Rider-Waite death card. Bury him. And then it's judgment. Rise again. The phoenix rising from the ashes. See, I'm going to teach y'all about this tarot because y'all think I'm a lightweight, some of y'all. Y'all think y'all, you know, get to tear up my name and talk shit about me. But I'm going to teach you. I'm going to school you on this shit. Tower, death, you got thrown out. You fell down to the ground, crashing and burning. Ain't they on fire in that Rider-Waite card, on the tower card? They flaming. They crashing and burning. Down to the ground. Y'all excuse my sound effects. I don't know. It's the full moon in Aquarius. Okay. Down to the ground. Dead. Toe up. Okay. Beloveds, we are gathered here today to remember the life of John Brown and Susan Smith. And what would you like to say in the eulogy, beloveds? Okay. Shovel to dirt. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. That's why I always say the shit. That's my motherfucking card, the death card. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And then judgment. Rise again. Another cycle. Death, rebirth cycle. Transformation. Karmic cycle complete. Start a new one. Let's put you back up here in the tower. Let's let you rise again through the course of your journey. And see if you're going to die again the same way. And we're going to have to bury you the same way again. See, this is the nature of karmic lessons and karmic cycles. Are we going to have to bury you the same way because you fell out for the same reason before in the tower card? Are we going to have Shango, Neptune / Shango strike your motherfucking tower again in the same way because you didn't learn the lesson the first time? Okay, so if we have to do that, we'll bury you again and we will go do and ask you to rise again like the phoenix from the ashes again. Scorpio shit. Because Phoenix is the highest archetype of Scorpio. The lowest is the Scorpion ground dweller. That's the lowest vibration of Scorpio. Unevolved Scorpion. You know, animalistic. Arachnid brain. Okay.
spider brain, low-level hell shit, ground-dwelling shit, terror shit, 3D, materialism, power domination. Scorpions like to dominate their prey. Secondary level is eagle. Eagles don't really do that. Eagles will come flying in real fast, and they come in, even scientific reports. And nature scientists have reported that an eagle will strike its prey faster than a bullet sometimes, hitting its target. I mean, with more force. Sometimes an eagle can strike its prey with more force than a bullet hitting its target, depending on what kind of round it is, of course. Because different rounds are loaded with different amounts of gunpowder, and they can travel at different velocities. But for semantics' sake, eagles flying real fast and hit their prey. But the eagle is usually by itself. And when it's not by itself, it's in its, if it does have a family, it has a nest. But it doesn't have a whole bunch of, you know, offspring. Eagles don't, at least bald eagles don't have a bunch of chicks at one time. Eaglets, would it be egret or eaglets? Well, little baby eagles, whichever, I can't remember. They don't have a bunch at one time. They have a small litter each time, or a small clutch each time, okay? And so Phoenix will be the cosmic level. That's the highest level of the evolution of a scorpion, okay? So again, when it comes to the tarot, it's much deeper than, some he said, she said shit. And that's why I said, people that demonize the occult but use tarot, you are practicing occultists technically. You may not want to call yourself that, and that's okay. You can call yourself whatever you want. But if you're using tarot, you are a practicing occultist, because that's exactly what that is. And you are also a practicing spiritualist. Okay? Because you are using a magical divination tool that has some deep fucking meaning to it. Now, going back to this empty houses. So it says, let's say that Aries is on your seventh house cusp, and your seventh house is actually empty, and your natal Mars is in Pisces and the sixth house. So this may mean that you find work life, which is the sixth house, and relationships, seventh house, to be intertwined, and you may meet potential partners through work or career. Okay? So I'm going to skip down, since I was talking about the 12th house and the 11th. So I'm using myself. If you have I'll just go through all of them, because they're telling me to go through all of them. If you have an empty first house, there can be an ease in the way that you come across to others, and there can be less challenges with your outward persona or how other people see you. The first house ruler can play a key role in your outward personality. If you have an empty second house in your chart, there can be an ease with handling finances or money, connecting to your values, and having security or stability. The second house ruler can play a key role in your values and money in your life. An empty third house means that there can be an ease with communication, because third house is Gemini and it's ruled by Mercury. So that's our talking and expression. And this can help you connect to your immediate environment, so you may have a great ability to communicate with others. And the third house ruler can play a key role in your mode of expression. So Mercury can be a boon for people who have an empty third house to help them communicate better. Now, an empty fourth house can mean that there can be an ease with matters in the home or family. Cancer is over the fourth house. That's home and family and their internal core, okay? And the fourth house ruler, which is Venus, can play a key role in your home or family life. Now, the empty fifth house, it says there can be an ease with connecting to your heart and expressing creativity. The fifth house ruler, which fifth house is Leo, can play a key role in your enjoyment and love. An empty sixth house in your chart means that there can be an ease with daily life and daily activities and work. And the sixth house ruler, because that's Virgo, the sixth house is Virgo. Says the sixth house ruler can play a key role in your approach to daily life and the work that you do. An empty seventh house, okay. Seventh house is Libra. There can be an ease with relationships and commitment. All right. The seventh house ruler can play a key role in your relationships. That's Venus again. An empty eighth house, which is Scorpio. means there can be an ease in transforming and sharing with others. So that's why I share so much with y'all. And people have criticized me for that, but I have 6 8th house placements. 6. That makes me almost a double stellium, because most stelliums are based off of just 3 planets in the same house. But I have 6. I have 6 in the 8th house, 6 in Scorpio. So it says there's an ease of transforming and sharing with others. The 8th house ruler, meaning Pluto, and also Mars or Aries, can play a key role in your sharing and your transforming. So my sharing is often talking about death, because Pluto rules my house. It also helps me keep dying myself and transforming, because it's not just about physically dying. But yeah, there are people who have done that much fucked up shit. They are going to physically die. And I have no problem with it. I'm comfortable with it. I'm sorry if other people are afraid. If you're afraid, maybe it's because you know what's going to happen to you subconsciously. You already know what's going to happen to you when you fucking go on that other side. See, I know that I didn't do nothing real fucked up like that. So I'm okay with it. That's why I said I've met death enough times. So I'm not worried about what's going to happen when I transition out of this body. Because I know that if I don't finish what I came here to do, I'll be back. If they decide, okay, we're going to cut her time short and we're going to go ahead and take her out, because I've told y'all that before in an upload, that they will remove good souls quickly so they can go fight more easily on the other side. So it's not just about, oh, if somebody dies at a young age or prematurely or shock in a shocking way, or even in a traumatic way, that they did something wrong. Sometimes the divine will snatch them up out of here and be like, no, we just ready. We tired. Cut, it's a wrap, cut it, all right, we tired, get you up out of this human body, it's time for you, we need you more on this side. Sometimes it's just as simple as that, okay? So when I'm talking about people gonna die, you goddamn right they're gonna die, if they were doing that kind of black magic and if they were doing death rituals on others that had no justification, you goddamn right they're gonna die. And if you keep speaking against me, you're going to. Because remember, you're the one, this person that said that, you're the one who said your line is going to die with you, right? That's why you were triggered, because I told her line is going to die with her. That demonic bat, yeah, I told her that. Her line is going to die with her. And if it doesn't die with her, it'll still stop progression with her. Even if there's 1 child or 2 children that come out, it's still the progression of the line ended with her because of what she's done. So if you keep speaking against me, you'll have a premature death. And I'm talking to 1 person in particular, not everybody. But you were meant to speak against me, because this helped me understand that I'm a part of your 12th house secret enemies and shit you need to fucking learn. Obviously, you didn't learn so much, number 9 life path, that you... Oh, I already figured that out. Obviously, you didn't, because you didn't know that Scorpio is meant to teach you shit and unveil mysteries that may upset you. And obviously it upsets you. Again, empty 8th house. It says there can be an ease in transforming and sharing with others. The 8th house ruler can play a key role in your way of sharing and transforming, as well as addressing what you hold inside. Okay. Empty 9th house. And of course, Scorpio is the 8th house. 9th house is Sagittarius. Okay. Jupiter rules Sagittarius. It says there can be an ease with expansion, growth, and pursuing opportunities. That's that wanderlust, being free, creative also, philosophical. The 9th house ruler can play a key role in your way of this expansion and enhancement of your life. So people that have an empty 9th house, you may be able to work with Jupiter if you want, and Jupiter will help you. Even though it's empty, it doesn't mean it's not relevant. So if you have an empty 10th house, it says there can be an ease in pursuing goals and managing responsibilities. 10th house is Capricorn. Okay. Saturn rules Capricorn. Lessons. Okay. It says there can be an ease with pursuing goals and managing responsibilities. The 10th house ruler can play a key role in your pursuits and your professional life. Empty 11th house, which is Aquarius. Aquarius is 11th house. There can be an ease with friendships, change, as well as your dreams, as well as you being, how can I say, freedom. It's also about freedom loving, and also having even a rebellious nature, Sometimes a rebellion can be good, sometimes it can be bad. Depends on how it's balanced. But it also helps you with this 11th house. The 11th house ruler can also play a key role in dreams and friendships. Now, I think Saturn rules Aquarius too. I'm pretty sure because there's only 10 planets. So you got... Yeah. So... Yeah, because two of the planets rule two houses. Yeah, that's how it works. Okay. So, Aquarius is ruled by... I'm pretty sure it's by Saturn. Aquarius ruling planet is Uranus and Saturn. Yeah, Uranus and Saturn. Okay, so, but Saturn also rules Capricorn. Just like Venus rules Taurus and Cancer and Libra. Yeah, in a way. I'm pretty sure about that. Either way, you can look this stuff up if you want. Moon is actually, my bad. Moon rules Cancer. Moon, because it's the moon card. Yeah, the moon card in the tarot. Moon rules Cancer. Venus rules Taurus. Okay. Mercury rules Gemini. Okay. Leo is ruled by the sun. Virgo is ruled by Mercury. That's that magician card. Venus rules Libra and Taurus. Not Cancer, Libra, and Taurus, but Leo and Taurus. Libra and Taurus, excuse me. Cancer is ruled by the moon. Aries is ruled by Mars. Taurus is ruled by Venus. Gemini is ruled by Mercury. Okay. Cancer is ruled by the moon. Leo is ruled by the sun. Okay. Virgo is ruled by Mercury. Libra is ruled by Venus. Scorpio is ruled by Mars and Pluto. All right. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. Aquarius is ruled by Saturn and Uranus. And Pisces is ruled by Jupiter and Neptune. That's why I said that Aquarius, Pisces cusp, that's Saturn and Neptune. But also, it goes kind of into the third house, Neptune, Mercury as well. But either way, let's go back here. So an empty 12th house. So an empty 11th house says there can be an ease with friendships, a change in your change as well as your dreams. And an 11th house ruler can play a key role in the dreams and friends you have. An empty 12th house, which Pisces is over the 12th house and Aquarius is over the 11th, it says there can be an ease with the past, your subconscious, and endings. The 12th house ruler can play a key role in the way you let go and connect to your subconscious, but this is also secret enemies. Okay, 12th house is also self-undoing and self-sabotage. Okay, now it says the 12th house in astrology represents your secret enemies. These are people who can be nice to you at one moment, but turn on you and backstab you in another, even without an obvious provocation or reason behind it. If someone's sun, moon, rising, or any other of their personal planets fall in your 12th house, then he or she can undermine you in some way or hinder you, slander you, meaning lie on you, start smear campaigns or do something behind your back, or just take more than they give back to you. It says, this, an example of this would be a woman with a 12th house Libra. Now, a woman, this is an example they're using, a woman who has 12th house Libra. So that would mean Libras are her secret enemy. Her husband has a Mars in Libra. That means her husband has a Libra placement. So that means her husband is actually her secret enemy. And this person may discover this if he was doing secret sex activities behind her back. That's an example. So, it's not an equal give and take between you and people who activate your 12th house. But sometimes this is just right. Now, if there's a child that's in your 12th house, it's okay to give more than receive while they're a child and all that. You know, it depends on who they are to you. No matter who it is, though, often you will do much more for them in the 12th house. These are those that activate your 12th house because you feel a strong pull to do it, a strong compassion that you can't explain, and you always keep forgiving them. This is why I always keep forgiving Daisy. So people were criticizing me. You and Daisy are so buddy buddy. She's my 12th house secret enemy. That's why I always like have compassion for her. And I don't know why. But it's also a soul recognition from past lives. And it's also some kind of bloodline, matriarchal, sibyllian, or sibyl energy, oracle energy, spiritual gift energy. Past lives, starseed shit. I don't, you know, that's what I said. I just can't, no matter what, I just can't seem to hate her. My soul don't have an ability to hate her. My soul don't have an ability to be her enemy. I just don't, it's unexplainable. This explains it. The astrology explains it. So it's way deeper than you thinking it's some social media or some YouTube clicking up. She is my 12th house enemy. And I don't mean enemy in a bad way. I mean, she's my 12th house. That's why I tend to forgive her. That's why I tend to understand her or try to. That's why I tend to, you know, have leeway. And it's subconscious also because I don't know why. It says, there is a reason for why you may have a strong compassion you can't explain with the 12th house people in your chart and why you always keep forgiving them. It says there's a reason. It says because the 12th house is our past lives. Remember, I told you all yesterday in those receipts videos about Observer Cerebus Fire 17 Tarot that we got some kind of past life connection. It says there's a reason why you do this. It says because the 12th house is our past lives, meaning Daisy as a Leo represents a part of my past lives. She represents my unpaid karmic debt or bill. Remember, if observers listening, I said to you, people are getting their spiritual bills these days. I showed that text message in the receipts yesterday. And she don't have to listen. I'm just saying, I'm explaining, you know, I'm tying this together to try to piece it together. Daisy and other Leos represent my karmic debt. Okay. A karmic bill that's due. Maybe we hurt this person in a past life or the same exact person in a past life. And now it's our time to see how it feels to be misled or hurt or get some of that back. Or maybe they helped us a lot. And now it's our turn to give back to them. That's why I told you all she helped us when we were under spiritual attack. And I know Observer was trying to say, well, if you were indeed attacked. I have thousands of text messages with Miss Kenyatta Numhika describing my attacks. So I was being attacked. Daisy knows I was being attacked. That's why she came out with a lot of encouraging videos for Divine Feminines. You're going to be vindicated. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going home soon. She is in my 12th house. It's my turn to give back to her, vice versa, however it's planned. It's give and take. Now, people in your 12th house, you will tend to give more to them than they give to you. But I've never been that type of person. You know, some people commented like, well, you know, she didn't never put you up on her channel. She did eventually. She did do a thank you video for me, Starfire Alchemist, a.k.a. Bree. She did. And while I promoted her more, it was my karmic debt to do so. It was my karmic bill. I had to. I still have to. So again, it says, no matter who it is, often you will do much more for the people who activate your 12th house or are part of your 12th house because you feel a strong pull to do it, strong compassion you can't explain, and you always keep forgiving them. There is a reason for this, because the 12th house is our past lives, our unpaid karmic bill or debt. So maybe we hurt this same person in a past life, and now it's our turn to see how it feels to be misled or hurt or to get some of that back. Or maybe they helped us a lot, and now it's our turn to give back to them. That's why I told you all, she helped us a lot spiritually. She wasn't lying in her videos when she said, some of you I've already done work for. Me and Kenyatta admitted that she helped us. That's why she was like, thank you. That's also why the so-called Vox or the Karmics that don't like her were very angry with me. I don't know all the, you know, mitigating circumstances, but that's one of the reasons why, because they saw my compassion for her and they fucking hated it. That's why they turned on me. When they thought I was angry with her and that I had it out with her as an enemy, then they cozied up to me. But when they realized, oh no, she's got compassion for Daisy, professional high priestess, who, for those of you that don't know, is a reader on YouTube, very popular reader on YouTube. When they realized, oh, she's got compassion for Daisy, she actually likes Daisy for some reason, we don't understand it. That's when they attacked me, because it made them look bad. And they were like, well, we're better. Why isn't she showing us that kind of energy? I tried to show them that kind of energy. They didn't accept it. They tried to use me. They were attacking my spine and solar plexus and sacral chakra. I spoke about those things. So for motherfuckers to try to say you weren't being attacked is a lie. I have the antibiotic bill where I had to go get antibiotics for my eye. I have the prescription. Okay. I also have photographs that I sent other people of the ways that I was trying to, you know, guard myself and stuff. And also, I'm the one who did the video telling you that that she had a voodoo doll, meaning Kichi Tarot. She admitted on her community page she had a voodoo doll, because she put up a joke that talking about, whoever has my voodoo doll, please put a Birkin bag with it. Well, that was a Freudian slip. That's what we call a Freudian slip, where you admit something just even by joking or just vicariously or just on the fly, you admit something. So you admit that you find voodoo dolls funny. Other people said that she was fucking with voodoo dolls. I mean, you got to think about it. If a person is harvesting your energy, why the fuck wouldn't they go to a voodoo doll? Voodoo doll ain't a big step from that. If a person's pulling your energy to where it causes physical pain, a voodoo doll ain't a big step from that. But the main person that was doing the voodoo doll against me, yeah, Kichi started that shit at first. But the main person that was starting a voodoo doll against me was somebody called Rashiata Weaver, that's unrelated to the YouTube stuff, that found out about me through Kenyatta and started attacking me because she didn't like the relationship I had with Kenyatta. And she didn't like the fact that I was getting love and attention that she wanted from Kenyatta, but she mistreated Kenyatta. You can't shoot somebody and wound them and hurt them proverbially or even literally and expect them to want to love on you. When they tried to help her, when Kenyatta tried to be nice to her and did all this stuff for her, all she did was she turned around and fucked her over. So now you mad that Kenyatta's actually found somebody that ain't gonna treat her like that? You mad that all this shit is fucking psychic and spiritual warfare. Karmics don't like for divine feminines to get love. Why do you think they interfere with twin flame unions and relationships? They don't like for us to get love. They don't like divine masculines getting love. So it shouldn't be hard to understand. And if you're reading tarot and you find this hard to understand, maybe you need to stop reading tarot until you get some more spiritual understanding. So it says, no matter who it is, often you do much more for them, those that activate your 12th house, meaning, because you feel a strong pull to do it, strong compassion you cannot explain, and you always keep forgiving them. There's a reason for this, because the 12th house is our past lives. It's our unpaid karmic bill or debt. Maybe we have hurt the same person in a past life, and now it's our turn to see how it feels to be misled or hurt, or maybe they helped us a lot, and now it's just our turn to give back. Despite the more complex relationship dynamics we have with these people, they are often our fastest gate to spiritual growth. And that's why I was led and told to say, I wasn't mad at Daisy for opening the portal, because it propelled me quickly. I leveled up quick to magician. When she did that, the next thing I knew, I was getting the rank of magician. And that's why, again, the enemies, the karmics, attacked me, because they saw the rapid, they saw like how they were like, oh shit, that's iron sharpening iron. She's actually sharpening Bree. She's actually helping her ascend even faster than she would on her own as a quickly transforming Scorpio. Scorpios can die to their old self every fucking day. Sometimes Scorpios die to their old self multiple times a day. Check the motherfucking astrological footwork. Scorpions can die to their old self every fucking day. That don't mean they're a new person every day. What it means is, they can get rid of stuff real quick. Like, okay, they can quit smoking and be on some new shit, some better shit the next day. Or They can learn a lesson 1 hour and 3 hours later have mastered learning that lesson or have mastered overcoming that habit or addiction or problem. That's how quickly it can happen. It just depends on the frequency of the person, how much work they put in, and how quickly, how much DNA activation they have, their ancestral lineage, their past life karma, how much work they put in, how much purifying they do. Because even while we're trying to clean up our own karmic debt and learn our lessons here, we have to deal with, you know, smog and smut and even black magic and chaos magic and other stuff that people throw in us. You know, I use that analogy of, you know, somebody using the spider web binding in the video that I did called Demonic Karmic Spiders with the It thumbnail. I use the analogy of them throwing a web on you like a blanket. That's what I mean by like black magic, smut and soot. It's smut and soot. It's almost like being clean, you know, energetically, and then somebody does craft or they want to interfere with your ascension process. So it's like getting out of the shower and you got on all white, and then somebody just, you know, blows a bunch of black smoke on you, or, you know, it's almost like standing behind a muffler like they would show in the comedy shows and in the movies, standing behind a muffler and it backfires and you got black soot and carbon dust all over you. Now you dirty. Okay, people use magic to do that because guess what? Now you got to go back and wash up again. It actually hinders your frequency, because when you're clean, you can receive energies, messages, downloads, and you ascend very quickly and you can transform very quickly. Okay. So, despite the more complex relationship dynamics we have with such people in the 12th house, they are often our fastest guide or gate to spiritual growth. That's why I was like, look, I'm not going to be pivoted against somebody that's helping me and helping other people, and that has helped me. She's my past life 12th house. She's my 12th house guide, Sybil, Oracle, etc. She's helping me with fast spiritual growth in various ways just by me knowing about her, her knowing about me. And there probably is some kind of familial tie somewhere down the line. But again, I live in South Carolina. She lives in California. I've never met her. But as far as when we were having those astral attacks and astral fights and stuff, she did assist us. Okay, the video where she did, where she said we were hiding under the bed, that was about me. Where she said people were just in rooms lying, and then she would step up and say, no, that's not true. And the people would get smaller or they would disappear, I think is what she said. And we were hiding under the bed because people were slandering me. That video was about me. Daisy is a spiritual, some kind of spiritual assistant to me. I don't know how all it works, but she's in my 12th house, but I know she can also flip on me if she want to, which is why I said I'm not allowed to subscribe. I'm not allowed to comment, okay? Because she flipped on me for no reason one time when I did subscribe. She flipped on Kenyatta too. So Kenyatta might want to check her 12th house and see what sign is in her 12th house and her chart. If it's an empty 12th house, you need to see where your 12th house is. So is your 12th house in Pisces? Is your 12th house in Cancer? Is your 12th house in Taurus? Where's your 12th house? Go look in your 12th house, because I'm gonna tell you right now, the experience that Kenyatta had with Daisy is much like mine. So I don't know if Kenyatta's 12th house is Leo or whether Kenyatta's 12th house is something else, but I'm gonna tell you again, it don't have to be their sun sign. It could be their moon. It could be so again, Daisy got some Cancer in her chart. She got some Libra. So if Kenyatta have any of them planets that Daisy got in her chart in her 12th house, that explains why that explains part of the reason why our experiences are so similar. So check your 12th house, all people, just in general. So it says, they're often our fastest gate to spiritual growth. Maybe because they are so vulnerable and they trigger our compassion, our giving, and our forgiving nature, which is our 12th house, also our subconscious and our, you know, secret enemies. Shit, we don't know why we do it, you know. So, the author of this article, which I'll put the article in the box if you want to read it, it says, the author uses the example. It says, maybe because they're so vulnerable and they trigger our compassion, giving, and forgiving nature, which is our 12th house, just like I do with a friend of mine whose moon and Venus both fall in my 12th house. I always save my friends somehow. when she is too sad or out of cash in another country, in jail for drunken misbehavior, on and on. I will keep giving and helping her when she needs it. It is stronger than even me, this urge to help. I feel a karmic duty or obligation to my friend. Or these people can trigger our spiritual growth because they hurt or betray us. All such things lead to burning up our karma and turning to a higher power. So even if they betray us, it still leads to us getting the karma done, getting it out the way, sweeping it up. Or maybe these people take us on a journey of addiction and vices, which is also our 12th house, addictions. Okay, things, that, bad habits. And that is one of the fastest ways to turn your life in a spiritual direction. And anyone who has survived addiction or going through vices or bad habits knows this. Or maybe these people, some of them may be truly our guardian angels who activate this source of unconditional love in us, which is the 12th house, no matter what way they do it. So again, I told you that professional high priestess helped me and helped Kenyatta. That's why I called her Chamuel. She helped us. She was rebuking the people that were lying on me on Astral. She could be some kind of guardian. She's got all of these archetypes mixed. Because she did try me. She did pop off on me. She has helped me realize gifts I didn't have. All of this stuff has played into my 12th house. Because that's where she is. Now, there are other Leos that have done this too. But she's been by far the main one. The main Leo I've come across in my life that have helped me with this. So, but the trick or the caveat emptor with people who are in our 12th house or activate our 12th house is to always keep one in mind that the situation is karmic and often you will be on the receiving end of the hard end of the stick, but to also learn to forgive them. They are playing out their assigned role as your spiritual agent provocateur. That is in tying back to what I said, that Daisy and these other karmics are on the same side, but they are fighting each other. She is spurring me to better growth. She is spurring many divine feminists to better growth. So I don't know if other DFs have Leo in their 12th house too that she's done this to, but I will say this. I don't agree with everything she does, but I know how it's affecting me and has affected me, okay? And my growth has been rapid because of it, okay? It says they are playing out their assigned role. It is karmic. The situation is karmic. And often you will be on the receiving end of the hard end of the stick. But also learn to forgive these people because they are playing their assigned role, a karmic role, as your spiritual agent provocateur. What is an agent provocateur? Somebody who provokes. Somebody who starts shit. It's a French term that come from the French Revolution. Agent saboteur and agent provocateur. This one can, you know, a person in the 12th house can be either an agent saboteur or an agent provocateur. And a lot of times they can be both depending on what you need to learn and what they have to carry out as their contract, okay? So it says, forgive them, but set boundaries as needed and distance yourself from them. Once you have done what you can to help them, don't let them run over you. Keep boundaries. Okay? Keep boundaries. Be stern. And that's why I say, look, do I have to put my bass in my voice, Chamuel? Do I have to say it again? Don't bother Sun, Moon, and Stars intuitive. Do I have to? Do I have to come again? Boundaries. So, professional high priestess is very good at what she's taught me and been teaching me, because she was talking about healthy boundaries recently. And yes, we know that she does repeat a lot of my stuff and a lot of people's stuff. But again, she is being used. That's why I said I don't know how or why or everything that's going on with her testing divine feminines and divine masculines on this platform and in other ways. But the fact is, she doing it. And the fact is, a lot of y'all done grew real fast as a result of her doing what she's doing. A lot of y'all have realized y'all powers real fast. So I'm not excusing her tactics at all. I'm just saying, check your astrology, okay? That'll help you gain a greater understanding. It's now 1:11 p.m. on 7/22/2021, okay? I want to read this little piece and close out with this. Let me close out with this. There is something known as cleaning up the 12th house.
Okay.
It says, it is true that in order to benefit from anything new, one must first discard the old and the outworn. This is a form of paying off karmic debt, by the way. Then the 12th house would be the epitome or the center of this proverbial closet that needs to be cleaned out. It simply must. When you're ready to embrace pain, sacrifice, and the nebulous energy of your 12th house, and open up to the incredible creative potential in this area of your chart, you have taken a bold step that is likely to lead you straight to enlightenment. The 12th house is not an area of the natal chart to take lightly. This is a house that needs work, and doing that work hurts. Adding insult to injury, it's an unconscious or subconscious house. So you don't even see what's wrong with how you may express your 12th house planets. At least not initially. Now again, for me, I don't have any planets in the 12th house. So that means the people that are represented by my 12th house, which is Leo, are my karmics. They may not be a karmic. They could be a divine feminine or a divine masculine, but they are my karmics. They got to teach me. They got to trigger me and, you know, make me do the extra mile at the track. They got to make me lift extra weight. They got to make me learn how to clean out my shit. That's what they're meant to do. So it says, but if you're willing to submerge yourself into the deep and isolating journey of your 12th house, you are destined to learn a thing or two about sacrifice, compassion, suffering, and healing. You might even come out on the other side of the experience thanking your 12th house, or whoever activates your 12th house. This is why I thanked professional high priestess and people didn't understand. Indeed, people with strong 12th house energy do have amazing empathy and healing abilities. Leo is my 12th house. That's strong energy. That's the sun. Leo is the only zodiac sign that is ruled by the sun. That is the strongest healing ability in the fucking tarot, because the sun card is the happiest card in the deck and is the main card indicating health. So I am a healer by my 12th house in the west, which is Leo, and by my Leo sun in the Vedic. I am a healer. I'm also meant to be what? I am masterfully creative in various ways. And also, I'm meant to what? Be in the spotlight. Famous. Because that's what Leo is about, right? That fifth house is what? Fame and celebrity. I am meant to be in the spotlight based on my chart. So no, I didn't snatch power. I didn't ask to be a leader. I volunteered for a soul mission to come here, for some kind of mission to come here years ago. But it was just to help. As a volunteer. I came as a volunteer. And that was thousands of years ago. In a past life. So when it comes to the 12th house, in the end, the 12th house is about surrendering. Once you're willing to let go or surrender to the journey, it's actually pretty amazing what tends to happen with this 12th house. Everything usually falls right into place. So, what's the final verdict on the 12th house? In the humble opinion of the author, who says of their Jupiter and Pisces in the 12th house, the answer may be found in the old Buddhist saying, quote, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional, end quote. Sit with your pain and fear, acknowledge and meditate on them. Don't ignore or medicate this. Feel. This is the only way to let go and experience true release. And isn't it timely, y'all, that I'm discussing this on a full moon in Aquarius, which is about releasing. Then you will not only have an immaculate 12th house closet, so it'll be cleaned. You have your karmic debt handled in that area. But you will finally be able to see the secret opening behind this 12th house closet. So you will be as Lucy was in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, walking through the wardrobe into a whole nother realm, is what my guides are channeling through. Walking through, other people open the wardrobe, it's just a closet. But in the movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia, if you go watch it, in the movie and in the books, other people open the wardrobe, ain't nothing there. But Lucy goes through, and it's a whole nother realm with its own creatures and experiences and everything. This may for you be the secret opening that actually leads to heaven. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you later.